This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm joined today by a fascinating psychiatrist, Dr. Leah Leese. She does a ton of speaking, interesting stuff, calls herself the Shameless Psychiatrist. Dr. Leese, can you take a moment and introduce yourself? And thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Yes, I'm Dr. Leah Leese. I call myself the Shameless Psychiatrist because I talk a lot about sexuality and the idea of not having shame around sexuality, and also raising children without shame around their sexuality. So I am a double board certified psychiatrist, adult and child, and I love working with kids and also with adults. So that's introducing myself.
That's fantastic. And how did you decide to become a psychiatrist? And isn't there growing to be a huge shortage of psychiatrists in our country?
Yes, my gosh. There's a huge shortage. I always feel like I'm a celebrity because I get so many desperate calls and people in the street who see me and goes, you're that psychiatrist, because there's such a shortage, especially who want to work with children, because it's a lot more work to work with children than adults. I don't know how to rectify that other than to encourage people to go into the field, because it's an incredibly powerful job. It just takes 13 years after high school to finish the degree.
And how did you decide to not just be a psychiatrist, but be double boarded? And what do you love most about what you do today?
I decided I wanted to be a psychiatrist around the age of 17. I started working at Hillside Hospital and doing research and working with children with attention deficit disorder, and doing actually research on electroconvulsive therapy, which was extremely interesting. And then I was a cognitive neuroscience major in college, and that was amazing. I had incredible mentors who did split brain research and put electrodes into the brains of rats. And that's how my career progressed. The best thing I think I do is, I would say I change more lives than a surgeon. I really can make such a huge difference, especially in the lives of children. When you put a child along the right path, who maybe is failing school or is depressed, you could prevent something like a suicide, but you can also alter like the entire life course of a teenager or a child. And it's exponential. Like, you just don't know. Maybe they were meant to become a conductor, or maybe they're going to become a star athlete, or, you know, adults are more fixed, but children, it's like the sky's the limit. And I always think of the infinite possibilities of what I do, the butterfly effect. So I think that's the best part of what I do.
Isn't that fantastic? And talk just for a moment about, you know, it's hard to move conversations from the sexuality type discussions that you do and the focus there to the children's side of what you do. Two very different worlds. But talk to us for a moment about some of the most interesting issues on the sexuality side that you're dealing with, you know, that you talk about that are currently interesting.
I think some of the most interesting discussions I have now are around the gender identity issues that are going on. I see a lot of kids, especially autistic kids in my practice, who are struggling with their gender identity, think they may be trans, and I think they're transsexual. And I think there is a lot of, you know, as a psychiatrist, you take an oath to do no harm. And when it comes to gender reassignment surgery, since it's essentially elective and it can render someone permanently infertile, there is a lot of, or may have permanent effects on their bone development, things like that, especially done at a young age. There's a lot of questions about, you know, are we doing more harm? Are we not doing harm? How do you assess when the benefits outweigh the risks? I think those are some of the interesting things going on right now in my field. Other things that I find incredibly interesting are owning, like as parents and children, like owning your sexual story, and a lot of like reframing of your sexual story. So let's say you've been traumatized or sexually abused or assaulted. How do you frame shift and create a more powerful or positive message? What did you learn from the experience? How can you pass down intergenerational wisdom to your children, not trauma, not complete the cycle of trauma, by using like really great therapy tools to shift that story and shift that narrative. So those are some of the more interesting things I'm doing right now.
So interesting. And then the difference in, it seems today with the shortage of psychiatrists, the thinking you get more and more often is that in terms of talking, actual talk therapy and so forth, that more and more psychiatrists sort of want to be out of that versus in that, and more psychologists and others do the talk therapy. Any thoughts on that? Where's your perspective on that?
Well, because psychiatrists have medical training, so they can prescribe medications. And so therefore, you know, usually patients get to me after they've already tried a bunch of different types of talk therapy and with different therapists. So, you know, they're coming to me for medicine. I love to do talk therapy, though, and I do reserve a certain subset of my practice for that because I find it interesting and it's an incredibly powerful tool. So I think that's why psychiatrists get, you know, also they can charge a lot more to work with kids and with adults and children and just do pharmacology. So I think that's why psychiatrists are sort of shutting down the more therapy aspect of their practice because, you know, just we can do what other people can't, which is prescribe medication.
Fascinating. And another topic that you talk about is this topic of people getting in their 20s and 30s and increasingly feel biological clock starting to run around childbearing. And traditionally, it's been an issue discussed a lot around women, and you discussed a lot around men as well. A couple thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think men are getting sort of a free ride on this one. They think that that they don't have to address their own fertility as they get older. But since the 1980s, the U.S. has seen a 40% increase in 35 to 49-year-old men fathering children and a 20% decline in men under 30 fathering children. And because men actually pass down more mutations in their sperm than women do, which is people don't realize that. They always think it's the female's eggs that are aging. And what happens is because men replicate DNA in their sperm throughout their lives, using a process that's not perfect at copying DNA, over time, they pass on more and more very small, tiny, what's called point mutations in their sperm. And these mutations are actually viable with life. So they have children that carry these mutations. And as time is going on, they're finding more and more and more of these point mutations in so many different illnesses. And women in their eggs pass down very big mutations such as Downs and other like almost complete chromosomal mutations, which are not viable with life. So the children are actually spontaneously aborted, meaning like they miscarry with older women. So they'll miscarry when it comes to the woman's egg, but they won't with the man's sperm. And so that's why men are passing down a lot more genetic problems, things like low birth weight, autism, diabetes, schizophrenia, and other mental illnesses, and lower IQ have all been attributed to advanced paternal age and sperm.
Fascinating. So different types of problems that come with the sperm versus the eggs, and mm-hmm. some of the problems with the sperm might not cause a spontaneous abortion, might not be as noticeable in the womb, but can be long-term very, very problematic. And yes. So the younger the man has a child, in some ways, the better as well, or as the sperm used for to give birth, the better. Whereas with a woman, some of the things are so dramatic that they will cause, you know, very clear the spontaneous abortion and so forth won't be able to carry. But such a fascinating study. And so more and more men open to this and hearing about it and thinking about it than ever before. And you spend some time talking about those issues. It's just absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, and it's so easy for men to deal with this issue. They can, you know, just freeze their sperm. I mean, you can even get at-home kits to do it, a thing called Daddy Kit. And, you know, so these women are all going in their 30s and freezing their eggs. It's becoming very popular. A lot of insurances are paying for it now, and which I highly encourage. But then they're using, you know, really old male sperm, because usually if they're having children, they're having children with an older man, to fertilize those eggs. and all that hard work, you know, jeopardizing the health of that child. So it's like, why isn't every man in their late 20s or early 30s freezing their sperm? They absolutely should be, especially if they're thinking of taking their time in having children.
Fascinating. So you have a situation where a woman ends up having a child in her later 30s, early 40s, which is more and more common today, and at least traditionally the natural partner of that person that age is close to their own age or even mm-hmm. a few years older. And so what's happened is there's more and more situations where his sperm may carry mutations that they wouldn't have carried or wouldn't have created challenges 10 years prior if he or she had if he had frozen his sperm. Fascinating discussion. Fascinatingly interesting. Finally, Dr. Lise, I wish we had more time today because it's fascinating what you do. How do people reach you if they want to learn more about you? They want to see you as a patient. They want you as a speaker. How do people learn more about Dr. Lise?
Great. Yeah. Well, I am publishing a book, and that will be in the fall about called The Shameless Psychiatrist, and it's all about parenting. You can find me at shamelesspsychiatrist.com, where you can sign up for my newsletter, and you can follow me on Instagram and YouTube at Shameless Psychiatrist. I have a lot of great videos now on YouTube as well, oriented towards both parents and towards teenagers who are interested in learning more about these great subjects.
Well, what a fascinating thing. I will go follow you right now and try and find that right away. But what a fascinating fascinating subject area and so forth. And what a pleasure to visit with you today, Dr. Lise.
Pleasure.
Forward to getting a chance to visit with you some more. We appreciate your time very, very much.
Yeah, I appreciate it too. Glad to have this shameless discussion with you.
No. We could be a lot more shameless, but we've tried to stay above board. So thank you so much today. We appreciate it, Dr. Lise, very, very much.
Bye.
You take care. Bye-bye.
You too.